You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hello, welcome to the Everything Is Black and White podcast. It's time for the latest episode of In Conversation with Lee Ryder, Chronicle Live's chief Newcastle United writer. I'm Andrew Musgrove, and today we're going to talk all about Bruno Guimarães, the man in the middle for Newcastle United, arguably Newcastle's most talented player currently at the squad. We're going to discuss where he ranks in terms of the great midfielders Newcastle United have had down the years, what he's achieved so far at Newcastle, what he could go on to achieve, and of course, the key question being asked of Bruno at the moment, just where does his future lie? Does it lie on Tyneside where he can become a legend, or may he head to Paris or Madrid? Please like, follow, and subscribe to the podcast to whichever platform you're joining us on. Let's get on with the show. Lee, first off, how are you doing? You well?
Yeah, very good, thanks. Been enjoying the football, and the weather at the minute is okay, so not too bad.
Yeah, the sun is shining. We are recording this episode prior to the game with Fulham. It'll come out a few days after, so just bear that in mind if we're talking about Bruno and he's done something wonderful or something mad against Fulham. We haven't ignored it. It just hasn't happened yet. I guess, Lee, one of the key questions you must get asked all the time by readers and listeners of the Chronicle and of the podcast is about Bruno Guimarães. What does the future hold for him? Because he's such an integral part of Newcastle United's side, but there is always, and especially lately, there's always rumours about his future. Is it a question you get asked quite regularly?
Yeah, it is. It's a big one because obviously he's pretty much the main man at Newcastle. He's the player that the fans chant about probably the most, I would say. And ever since he's been here, he's been almost the kind of icon of Newcastle post takeover. So I think he's a big player for Newcastle moving forward, and he's probably the most valuable player that they've got in the market at the minute. So understandably, he's going to be getting linked with all the top clubs.
Yeah, certainly so. And we'll speak a bit more about his potential future potential exit, if we say it quietly, in the years to come. But let's go right back to the start when he signed and Newcastle's season wasn't going particularly well. I mean, they looked destined for the championship. He came in, he gambled, having played for Lyon, having played in Europe. He came to Newcastle, as I say, at a time when things weren't going well at all. How do you think Newcastle United saw the dream to him? Because it was a big leap of faith from him.
Yeah, it was a massive leap of faith, really, because he signed for the club without a relegation escape clause when Newcastle were bottom of the table. And, you know, it was words that sold him that move, because it was nothing else. Because logic tells you, if a team is bottom of the table in January, then there's a good chance they're going to get relegated. So whatever Eddie Howe, Amanda Staveley told him, he totally believed it. He believed in the project. I remember asking him the day that he was unveiled, you know, what he saw the potential at Newcastle of. And I think he said something along the lines of, you know, that they can be a global force. And that was like, wow, he's just said that in a press conference. So that gave us a very easy back page headline on that day. And ever since then, he spoke ambitiously. I think you need players like that who want the club to really succeed. We still haven't won anything. And we're going to have to wait a little bit longer to do that. So as long as you've got players like him driving that ambition forward, then you know you're going to have a really good opportunity to challenge for trophies. Look, they got the last eight of the FA Cup, the last eight of the Carabao Cup this season. You know, Bruno was in tears at the end of both of those games. So that shows you what it means to him. And I think really we now need to put a few more players around him that are going to help him achieve what he wants and, more importantly, what the supporters want.
Yeah, he's set the bar, hasn't he, for the level of performance. And Newcastle United have got that kind of really, how do we describe it? The record where they don't win too many games if Bruno's not starting, which isn't great from a Newcastle point of view, but it shows you just how important he is to the team. If I remember correctly, Eddie Howe took a long while to give Bruno a consistent run of games at the very start. He wanted to ease him in, and that was helped by the form of the midfield ahead of him, Longstaff and Joe Willock in particular, and Joe Linton as well. But now he's right at the top of the tree, isn't it? There's no doubt, and he is Newcastle's best midfielder.
Yeah, I mean, he's the player that he's the heartbeat of the team. That's the best way to describe him. I think he's not going to come and give you 8 to 10 goals, although I know he would like that. And I know that he wants to play further forward. You know, he's told me that before as well. So Newcastle know that he's going to be integral. If they are to push on and win something, you're going to need him to stay at the club. And that could become the tricky part if you have the big guns starting to put genuine bids in, not just talk. It's easy to talk, but has anyone put a genuine bid on the table? I don't think they have at the minute. They might have spoke about prices, but, you know, I mean, everyone knows the ultimate price is his escape clause, which is £100 million. So that's what it's going to take to get him. Newcastle won't sell him for anything less. And that's basically the narrative.
Yeah, and you don't blame them for trying to hold on to the man in the middle. You mentioned there his reaction a couple of times where there's been tears in his eyes. He's such a passionate player. And that's been kind of accelerated as well by the way he's bought into the fan base, bought into the community. It's not just about the football, is it? He absolutely loves the area, the city and the people. And it's not for everyone. You know, we've spoken, you and I, before about certain players who haven't been able to handle the pressure that comes with being a star at Newcastle. But Bruno, not only has he embraced it, he really just seems to love it and is right at home with it.
Yeah, and what I can say about Bruno Guimarães is that he's a very infectious character, and it's no wonder that the players love having him around. And even as a journalist, who's obviously interviewed a lot of players, sometimes you have a character when you speak to him, and after you've spoke to him, you walk away with a bit of a spring in your step almost. And that's the feeling that I get, you know, after I've done an interview with him. And it's very few times in football that you get that. But with him, because he's so enthusiastic and because he means everything he says, and because he's passionate about football and passionate about the club and passionate about playing for Brazil and passionate about his teammates and having all the close bonds around, you know, that rubs off on people that are around him. So it's no wonder Eddie Howe. I think he said afterwards that they didn't realise, they knew they'd signed a good footballer, but they didn't realise they'd signed such a bubbly personality to put in the dressing room. So I think they got much more than they were expecting. And when he signed as well, everyone thought, oh, he's just going to be a bog standard number six, sitting from the back four. But, you know, if you look at the heat maps he creates, you know, he's everywhere on that pitch. And, you know, he's someone that, you know, I think he's a player that we always talk about. It. Would he be good enough to get in the old entertainers team, the Kevin Keegan team, or maybe the Sir Bobby Robson team? And I think he would walk in hands down.
Yeah, that is a debate that's had quite often. And he would probably fit in quite nicely alongside a Gary Speed or a Rob Lee, two Newcastle United legends in their own right. So that shows you just how well Bruno's done after such a short space of time to be mentioned in the same breath as those two.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
And yeah, I mean, in terms of the midfielders we've seen, Lee, where does he rank for you? Is he as good or maybe better than those two I've just mentioned or anyone else that I haven't?
No, he would be probably for me in my top five midfielders in Premier League history of Newcastle, that is. And I think, you know, Rob Lee, Gary Speed, they're the sort of players that set the benchmark at Newcastle. And I think that, you know, he is as good as those players, because the thing with Bruno Guimaraes is he's probably one of the most fouled Newcastle players as well. And I think both Rob Lee and Gary Speed used to take a few kicks as well. I actually seen a video of Rob Lee in his sort of pomp playing for Newcastle down against the old Wimbledon, and Vinnie Jones getting sent off for two absolutely gruesome challenges on him. And I think, you know, that's the sort of player that Bruno is as well. People will do whatever they can in the law book to try and stop him. And sometimes that's not in the law book either. So, yeah, he's going to win you. He's going to win you a lot of free kicks and possibly penalties if he does push further forward. So, yeah, he'd be right up there for me.
Yeah, I mean, as we say, just an absolute talented player. And the other thing he's really good at is picking the pass. I mean, we've got countless examples of when he's just picked the perfect pass out of nothing, really. Often a long ball, you know, I often think back to that Miguel Almirón goal against Crystal Palace when he twists with a ball first time on the kind of volley and sets Almirón away. And there are countless other examples of when he's just picked an absolutely sublime pass. And there are few better passers of the ball than him at Newcastle and maybe even in the Premier League.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with any of that. He's almost like the kind of technical player that younger players try to be like. I mean, he has, to be honest, I've interviewed him this season and he tries to tell me that when he was 16, 17, you know, I can't repeat what he said, but he didn't think he was very good at that age. And he was talking about Lewis Miley, talking about his technical brilliance. But I don't believe him because, you know, from what we see from him now, it's just brilliant what he brings to the table for Newcastle. And long may it continue. And hopefully players, you know, like Lewis Miley, Elliot Anderson, even Sean Longstaff, all learn from him and hopefully can become better players because he's around.
Yeah, a lot of experience that he can pass on, and it just kind of pushes those players around him to the next level. You mentioned there a bit about position. You know, people thought he might be a number six. I think this season, what we've seen is when he has been asked to play a bit of a more defensively, he's looked a little bit out of sorts, a little bit restricted. In more recent weeks, more recent months, he's been given a slightly more attacking role, a bit more of a license to roam in many ways. He's still, you know, getting back, getting a foot stuck in, but he's been given, from my view, permission to maybe just go a bit more forward. Where is his best position, do you think?
Yeah, for me, I'd say probably more of a number eight would be his better position, although he can do the number six position very well. Also, I think he's spoken to me, and certainly the people around him have spoken to me about sort of a desire to almost be like a number 10 as well and really push forward. Now, that's something we haven't fully seen just yet, but I think he needs to be more clinical in front of goal if he is going to do that. What's he sitting on at the moment? Is it 3 goals this season? So they're not quite the figures that would add up to it. Still got 8 games left, of course. So hopefully he can add to that in that closing sequence of the season. But look, he brings more to the party than goals. But you go back to his first game, I think it was at Southampton, when he scored that audacious kind of back heel volley, which I just think nobody expected him to do that. And, you know, he arrived at that moment and he's never looked back.
Yeah, it was a tremendous goal that, and he does score some beautiful goals, but I think you are right. We would like to see him score more goals. If he starts for Newcastle against Fulham, it'll be his 100th game for the club. He's only hit 13 goals, though, in that time, and that is probably one area of his game I think he'll look to improve on, you know, scoring more goals. And if he doesn't improve on it, then maybe Newcastle can get into the market and buy a goal-scoring midfielder. Maybe they hope Joe Willock can rediscover some form. Maybe Elliot Anderson could be that one. But certainly from Bruno's point of view, I think he needs to add a few more goals to his game.
Yeah, I mean, a benchmark for a midfielder. You've had a very good season if you're getting the double figures. And, you know, at the minute, he's not close to double figures. So that could come in time, though. I mean, midfielders go on sort of streaks, don't they? I mean, Rob Lee back in the day used to go on barren spells and then suddenly be banging them in left, right and centre. And I think Rob Lee's a good benchmark in the Premier League era for any Newcastle midfielder. I mean, I think maybe you saw him towards the end of his time at Newcastle. I was lucky enough to see him in his peak when he got in the England squad. And, you know, Rob Lee was one of the best English midfielders in the Premier League at that time and had 10 years at the club. So that's a good benchmark for Bruno to try and maybe style himself on those type of figures and that type of length of service at the club. I would hate to see him leave the club, but these things can happen in football sometimes. But if he does stay and we see him beyond this season and going in the next few years, then yeah, it'd be great. Be great to see him succeed, because he's not just a top player; he's a top guy as well.
Yeah, I mean, we're all looking for him to hopefully lead Newcastle United to a trophy of some sort. I just want to get your view on him avoiding a 10th yellow card. So if my numbers are correct, he's got to go through the Fulham game, through the Spurs game and the Crystal Palace game as well, before the yellow cards gets reset. I'm sure someone will tell me if I'm incorrect.
I think it's Tottenham. So if
it's Tottenham, the last one.
If the final whistle's gone against Tottenham and he's avoided it, then I think he's safe.
I can't believe we're actually at this point, Lee, where we're talking about the fact he's actually got through the number of games he had to avoid a 2-game suspension. Because if you'd asked me right at the start of this run of games in which he couldn't pick up a caution, do I think he would have managed to avoid a yellow card, I would have laughed you out of the room. But I think he's become a better player because of it, because he's had to become more focused. He can't be as erratic and as in, he had the tendency to maybe dive in or let his mouth run or get a bit more physical than then perhaps was needed. But knowing that he can't pick up a yellow card, I definitely do think it's helped his all-round play. I don't know what you think.
Well, look, he's had to play completely on the edge. And again, in a recent interview I did with him, I asked him, I said, have you had to modify your game, your approach? And he said, yeah, I probably have had to. And I think he's talking about he has to, if he's trying to make a recovery challenge or track him back, I think he's trying to say that he has to weigh up, is it worth me putting in a last-ditch tackle here? Am I going to have got a genuine chance of winning the ball without picking up a yellow card? And that's pretty much where he's at. I think the celebration at Nottingham Forest where he jumped on the board without jumping in the crowd, I mean, I don't know exactly the letter of the law, but if the letter of the law is if you jump into the crowd, then you'll be booked, then he was obviously right on the edge of that with that celebration at Forest. So I think you'll be glad when this is gone. But by the same token, it could be something that's drove him on through the season.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Because I think once he's free of that hanging over his head, we might see him return to the Bruno of old, where he was a little bit more ill-disciplined, shall we say. And I definitely do think he's become a better player because of it. But I'll be glad when that final whistle against Spurs goes, and fingers crossed he hasn't picked up a yellow card in a two-game suspension. Let's finish then, Lee, on the question which is Eddie Howe's consistently asked about, which is one that I mentioned right at the start of the show that you're asked about all the time, and it is what's talked about on social media consistently, and it is the future of Bruno Guimaraes. We spoke about the quote Eddie Howe delivered in his press conference prior to the Fulham game, and I'll reread it now. I know I mentioned it in the podcast we did on Friday, but I'll do it again. And he said, let me tell you, players like Bruno, they are not around every corner. They are very, very rare. Bruno should be appreciated for everything he brings. My intention would be to keep Bruno at the football club for as long as we possibly can. But I can never make guarantees, though, because that would be foolish of me. I've been in football long enough to know you never know what's going to happen tomorrow. But he's an integral part of our team and playing really well at the moment. I mean, Eddie Howe saying what we all know, just how important Bruno is. Some leader might read that comment, read that paragraph and think, is he setting the groundwork for something to happen in the summer, perhaps?
Potentially. I think I've already said, haven't I, that Eddie Howe might know something we don't, and the very sort of fine details of that contract are something only the player, his agent and the manager will know about. So there is that. I mean, while it's accepted that there is a £100 million release clause, something that's never been denied, and it's been, believe me, it's been put to the right people. It was put to Eddie Howe, it's been put to Dan Ashworth before he decided he wanted to go to Manchester United, and it was never denied, and it was almost stood up by Ashworth, who said that every player might have a dream club or a dream option for them. So we don't know if it could even be down to a specific club as mentioned in that contract, or specific number of clubs that, you know, if they come in, then he goes if the price is right. So as long as there's any kind of clause hanging over a player, I mean, he didn't have the clause in his contract originally. It's been written into a new deal, and that seems to be the only way Newcastle could get him to extend his time here. So yeah, that is a worry, but yeah, you can't spend your whole life worrying about things. But at the end of the day, he could leave, but does he leave a legend like he wants to be, or does he just leave as a player who can be replaced by somebody else coming in and taking any future glory?
Yeah, I suppose that'll be the key decision for him. Does he go to a club where maybe success is a little bit more guaranteed, but that legendary status that you can achieve here at Newcastle isn't so easy to come by? I guess, Lee, look, we've seen down the years star players sold. I mean, everyone will look back to Kevin Keegan standing on the steps and Andy Cole. Sometimes, unfortunately, in football, especially with the current rules in place, you're just going to have to sell your best players. And as long as that money is reinvested, then, you know, it hurts, it stings. But if Newcastle ended up selling Bruno for 100 million plus and it allowed them to bring in 2-3 quality additions to the team, then I suppose Newcastle's overarching aim of being, you know, successful, winning the cup, you have to maybe take the hurt of selling Bruno to then allow to bring in these quality additions.
Yeah, and I think West Ham are probably a great example of, you know, they had to sell Declan Rice, and that must have been really painful. It certainly would have been painful losing 6-0 to Arsenal with him scoring a goal in that game. But the bigger picture was they were able to sign a clutch of new players. They're in a decent position in the league. They're still in European competition. They've been able to grow from it. And, you know, even going back to when you talked about Andy Cole back in the day, Newcastle grew from that moment themselves because they were able to go out the next summer and sign Les Ferdinand, Warren Barton, Shaka Hislop, you know, three players, David Ginola as well, can't forget him. Four top-notch players were reinvested into the squad after that. So I think you've kind of got to be a little bit open-minded about it. By the same token, if we're going to see ambition and he stays, and we put those players around him. I mean, there's a lot to miss out on by leaving Newcastle, especially with the way things have gone. I mean, yeah, this season hasn't been what everyone hoped for, but there's ambition there. There's exciting things happening around the football club, the ground, the city. There's still so much to look forward to. So I wouldn't, if I was him, I wouldn't want to be going anywhere where it's just going to be me being another player, if that makes sense. I'd rather stay here.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Yeah, and sometimes the grass isn't always greener. Certainly going to be interesting to see what happens with Bruno Guimarães this summer and in the seasons to come. Hopefully, though, he does remain at Newcastle United. Thanks to Lee, as always. This has been In Conversation with Lee Ryder. Hit subscribe. Hit the like button, give this video a thumbs up, and if you're listening on the podcast channel, do leave us a rating and a review. It's very much appreciated. Head over to chroniclelive.co.uk for all the latest Newcastle United news as we build up to the visit of Spurs to St James's Park on Saturday afternoon.